Today is March 8th, 2010. I'm sitting here, Sherry Bowers. I'm sitting here with Luella Simon, former director of the Milan Berlin Township Public Library. And we are going to talk about the photograph that Larry Lambert took 20 years ago of Mrs. Simon here at the library. He is also retaking the pictures that he did 20 years ago. And I'm here to get a perspective of the last 20 years and a little bit about libraries from Mrs. Simon. So I guess we'll start with you telling me a little bit about how long you served as the director here at the Milan Berlin Township Library.
I worked here for 20 years, but I served as the director for 14.
And when you were director, well, what did you do first before you were director? Let's go back a little bit.
You mean working in the library?
Yes.
I was worked the desk and wrote out the orders for the books for Mr. Couch and straightened shelves and just the general everyday duties.
And those are still, you know, really essential parts of the library in terms of, you know, the ordering of books and servicing, you know, our patrons at the desk. But from your job as a director, I think so many things have changed. And when you were a director, you know, that was even before, you know, when you retired. And what year did you retire from as a director here?
Nineteen ninety-two.
And still, technology at that time was starting to change, but we still, a lot of things you relied on still were what the card catalog.
Right, right.
You know, and now occasionally we still have people come in and ask where the card catalog
is. Yes. Right.
But, you know, everything is computerized and digitized, and now people are amazed at the fact that so many books are being read online or handheld. Technology just keeps moving on. I want to ask you, tell me about maybe what it was like as director back then. What did you as director see as your primary duties? Of course, personnel is always one of them, but where were libraries at? What did libraries look at servicing, because now libraries do so much more in terms of programming, but what was it like back then?
Well, we had, for the public, we had the children's story hours, and we had various organizations who met in the library once in a while. Now, as a director, I did everything that anybody else did, one of the first jobs that we had was that when they put the addition on, and that was quite hectic then, of going through all the building and selecting bricks that matched the old building. These are just, I waited on the desk and waited on, did all the other things in addition to making the selections and being responsible to what the board wanted.
You know, it's interesting you brought up the addition, because in my conversation with Mayor Bickley, one of the things he talked about was the expansion of the library and just how well done the expansion was in terms of making sure that the brick matched. And people don't realize, especially when you're in a historic community where you're trying to keep the historic integrity of buildings, there's a lot more work that goes into just worrying about a new structure.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people comment even today how nice the addition is in terms of how it matches the original part of the library. So I can appreciate that too, having done some work with historic preservation, the importance of that.
Yeah.
And it's, of course, I know from what I've heard at least, that it's very busy when you go through a building project. You mentioned about some of the programs that, or at least one of the programs being a primary function here, and that's the Children's Story Hour. And still, that's such an important, I think, part of libraries, yet is the programming for children.
My personal feeling now is that the programs for the children and books for the children stay pretty much along the same lines as they were 20 years ago. That children do not depend upon the new technology quite as much as adults do.
You know, that's interesting you say that, because I know a couple years ago some initiatives were changed in the state to make sure that at least with the preschool library programs, that reading, basic reading readiness portion of children's program mm-hmm. remain intact in terms of the children's, whoever is reading during story right. time, make sure that, you know, that the children are listening and kind of participating in mm-hmm. that it was very important to that getting ready for kindergarten.
Right.
And I think we have done a good job here with continuing that. The selection of books, of course, you know, they're wonderful. They do have access to technology here, unlike probably you did not have computers in the children's room before.
No.
And mostly what they have are games and things, some interactive things to use, but story time is still a great feature. Now, they do have something different. They have a movie night here.
Mm-hmm.
Did you show any type of movies or slides back, film strips would have been back then? Did you show anything like that back then?
Yes, lots of film strips.
Okay. Well, so some of it has changed, maybe change in terms of technology, right. but it sounds like there's a lot of similarities. One of the things you also mentioned, the library served, or different organizations with meetings, and actually in this room we have here now, this is our meeting room. So this is where story time. Mm-hmm. You know, they come for story time, but we also have different organizations come in and meet. We have other types of programs. One of the things that has changed here at the library is the adult programming has become, I don't know if it's maybe greater than it was back when you were director, but we do have a variety of adult programming, everything from gardening to adult book clubs, things of that nature. Now, mm-hmm. did you have adult book clubs back when you were director?
No.
Now,
as far as programs for adults, that was mostly limited to some genealogy program, which would be on Sunday afternoon. And the library didn't have to be responsible for all of the part of the program. Some of the members had their own thoughts that they wanted to share.
So when you had the Sunday afternoon programs for genealogy, was that here or was it at another building? Did you have the programming here at the library, or was it at another building?
It depended on how large a group was going to be. Some of them, the program part would be over in the Methodist Church, and then they would come over here. But if it was going to be a smaller, more localized group, then they met here in the library.
Now, upstairs, when you come into the library, is there anything that impresses you in terms of change? I know we have changed some things around in terms of our shelving, but what's the biggest thing that has impressed you when you come in terms of how different the library looks from when you were here?
The modernization of the tables instead of the old large tables. And we did have some comfortable chairs, though, too. the invitation to sit down and read something here you have now, which there was, that was very limited.
Mm-hmm.
Not many people spent a lot of time in the adult department. They borrowed what they needed and took it home.
That's interesting that you see that change, because that is true. We have sometimes people come in and will sit and read the newspapers, maybe even read some of the books that they've checked out, mm-hmm. and will stay for a while if they have children here, using the children's portion of the building, or sometimes they'll have children that are working on their homework and using the computers, because so many school assignments now require some computer time. And I think for especially one of the features that we offer as a mm-hmm. library now, which is nice, are the public access to computers. For people that maybe not have that access at home, they can come here and use that. So maybe a little more multidimensional.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, again, that's because of the demands of technology, I think, to some extent. I wondered, did you have a chance to look at our DVD collection? Because we have a lot of DVDs.
Oh.
And something that has changed quite a bit, there's a lot of circulation of DVDs. Does that surprise you?
No, because it used to be the records and the tapes, and we had paintings, wall paintings, that were quite popular. We had probably about 20 of those, and people could borrow them for a month, and then many times renew them for another month. And that was, they were real popular then.
See, that fascinates me, the fact that people were able to check out wall paintings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me, was that unique to our library, or did a lot of libraries do that, or have something?
I don't think a lot of libraries did that, but that was one idea that Mr. Couch, when he was the director, brought to this library. And I remember Janet and I helped to make the selection of what we thought the people of Milan would like to see in their homes.
What do you think the thought was behind that, just to bring a little culture, I guess, or artistry to homes?
Yeah, kind of introduce people to a little bit of art.
See, I think that's a fascinating concept to do that, and I was surprised to hear that when I came here, because I was not aware of that. Because, you know, what I know about libraries, of course, is from mostly the checking out of books,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, when I was in college, you know, it's the same thing, and except for the special collections or the archival
mm-hmm.
collection, I never gave thought to the other services that libraries provide, and that's the beauty of the public library. Even though some things have changed,
mm-hmm.
I think that there's a lot of unique services that keep people coming back, and
right.
And that's what I think that is probably the strength that we have.
And there was a change in the recordings. I remember my early years here, the 8-track were becoming obsolete. And we occasionally had someone who wanted to borrow an 8-track, but we didn't have them anymore.
Right.
So that's how technology changes rather quickly.
Well, you know, and that's the same thing we're having here, you know, with a lot of, you know, the Sony readers, the Kindle, and all the different things that people can do, or even being able to, with their library account, open up a book and read a book online. And that's unique in that, you know, usually there's a checkout time for that too, where they have so many weeks to read that book at home, and then the subscription goes away for that.
Yeah, all right.
So there's certainly so many avenues to become informed. Mm-hmm. Tell me about some other about your staff then.
You had staff here in Milan. We had 6 people on staff, 2 full-time people and 4 part-time. Berlin Heights had just 3 people at the time. And a couple of them were only part-time. They just had 1 person on duty usually at a time.
And did you have the hours for your for the library back then were...
They were 9:30 to 8:30 during the week, and Saturday it was 4 hours on Saturday. I'm not sure if it was 9 to 1 or 10 to 2. I'm not sure. I think maybe we changed it somewhere along the line. And Friday night closed at 7:30.
That's interesting. I think most libraries, now at least the ones I'm familiar with, close at 5 o'clock. Like we do now, we close at 5 on Fridays, but I don't know if too many libraries open past 5 on Fridays.
We were open till 7:30. And, but
I'm wondering, so did you have... when you said you had 6 staff members here, 2 were full-time staff members, correct? Okay. What did you keep 1 person at the desk all the time, or do they rotate the desk and everyone rotated their desk duties?
Yeah, you... I was on full-time, and David was on full-time. And the other 4... were on part-time, and usually one came in and worked 4 hours in the afternoon, and then there would be 2 people upstairs. But in the evening, there was just 1 person upstairs and 1 person downstairs.
That's similar to how we have it now in the evening. There will be 1 person at the desk upstairs and 1 downstairs.
Mm-hmm. And like I say, I work the desk just like everybody else.
I want to switch a little bit to something that was a important project that you started, and of course is close to my heart too, because that's my position, and that's the local history.
One project, of course, there was no genealogy or history department. Many of the books had been given to the library by Judge Williams. Mrs. Mitchell had those all tied up in newspaper, and they were on the shelves in the magazine room. In order to preserve them until there was a time when they could have a genealogy or something. Mrs. Mitchell was really responsible for keeping these things intact. And so after that building was finished and we could think about something else, we started untying those the papers and finding out just what exactly we did have. And when David came, it kind of went from there, developing that, the genealogy, and going places to find things. But one thing that I feel was very important, and that was compiling a list of names that are on the Civil War monument. And you know there are 4 stones around the bottom. Right now I think those are blank, but anyway, those had names on, which they were absolutely all worn off. And some up above, they were hard to read, and So one day, David and I went over. I had a notepad and a pencil. We went over, and I sat on this park bench while David climbed the monument ceiling, that engraving on there, and to see what name it was, and I was writing it down. And couldn't get them all because he couldn't go to the top. But later, Larry Derner, who worked for the electrical department, put the okay.
Keep talking. That's cool. You can keep going. About Larry Derner?
I'll wait for you.
Anyway, he worked for the electrical department.
He was waiting, and Larry drove the electrical truck up by the monument, and David got in the bucket that goes up. Not David, Carol's husband, Bill Jones, got in the bucket and took pictures. Well, it turned out that his camera wasn't strong enough to get the engraving. But then later, when we went to Fremont and looked through these pictures of, we found pictures of the monument, all four sides of the monument. And you could read all of the names. You could read all the names on the bottom. So we were able to make a complete list, which the library has on microfilm. And it gave a list to the township trustees because they were responsible for that. Mm-hmm. And it was after we had compiled this list of the names on there that the township trustees then decided to kind of clean up the monument and fix up those stones around and put a fence around again. And so that's how the library came to have a complete listing of the names on the Civil War monument, because before that there was none available.
And I do recall seeing that, looking through that. In fact, I believe a couple years ago I had a patron request some information, and I utilized that resource. I can't remember exactly what they wanted, but there was a name that on there that they were looking for, and I know that's been a valuable resource. And I have to say that I know much of what is in the cabinet in terms of microfilm is there because of the efforts of you and David Morgan, you know, going out and making sure these things were put on microfilm. And we do get a lot of people in here using the microfilm, and it's been just a very valuable resource to the local history room.
There is a listing here at the library. I had a listing, David had one, and Carol had one because Bill had tried to help us. And about a year ago, when I was going through some of my things, I came across this listing, and I thought, you know, this has been on my shelf for 20 years and has had not been used because of my having it. So I brought it up and gave it to Tom Gaffel. And I told him, people come here on Saturday afternoon and Sunday to look at that monument. The library is closed. And if they were going to try to get some information, I feel you would be the logical place for them to go to ask for information about it. So I'm giving my list to you.
That's wonderful. And, you know, now with the internet and mm-hmm. technology, there are some things that we can put on that are in the collection. You know, if somebody is in Washington State and they want to view something, well, it's just a click away. And that's, I think that's part of the neat thing about libraries moving into being so accessible.
Right.
Because so I still have so many people come in here and they will tell me, I didn't realize how much you have in the local history department. And in so much of what was done there was, like I said, through the efforts of you and David Morgan and what you went out to get and have microfilmed and make sure
it
stayed preserved.
I gave a listing to my next door neighbor, Jim Witten, because he was a township trustee. And I thought, they're responsible for that. They should have a list. I felt they should have had a list from the beginning, but they didn't, you know.
And I know you have other township records, too, and church records.
Yeah, the church records. When we contacted Bowling Green to do the Milan papers, and David and I borrowed my son's van to take those Milan papers to Bowling Green. And after that, Paul Jahn asked us about church records. So David contacted the three churches here in Milan, and we were responsible for getting them to Bowling Green to be microfilmed and getting them back here. And of course, the library received the microfilm because the churches did not own a microfilm reader. Mm-hmm. And so that's how the library got the church records from here in Milan.
And that's another important part of the family history and genealogy that people, you know, pursue is looking, you know, for a mention of a family member in the church records. And I would say probably once every couple months I'll have a request for something that usually involves looking at either the Milan Ledger or a church record. So... And probably even, and at times it seems like it's even busier than that, but the usage remains constant in the local history room. And I see it just, I see opportunities for growth. And at that time, I wonder, because when you and David started the local history and genealogy department, were you still unique to other libraries in terms of having your own department? Because in the last couple of years, many libraries have a local history department. But when you and David started it, were you the only place in this area? Or
Sandusky had very little, and they were, at the time, they were not really interested. They had very little. Norwalk had a little because of their historical of a society there. And so as this one grew, and as I say it, we became known for the best one in Erie County. But it was due to the fact David had the interest in the, and was willing to go ahead and go places to find out, you know, various things. And there was one little incident that I must tell you. We were at a National Genealogical Society thing, and I believe it was when we were at St. Paul. And the woman was talking about the Great Lakes and the battles on the Great Lakes. And some man in the audience raised his hand and asked if there was any listing of the Southern prisoners who were held on Johnson's Island. And she said, oh, she didn't know. Yes, there is. There's a book, and I have it with me in the car right now.
Wow, that's...
That was Charlie Froman's book.
Okay.
And so And I met the man later and told him this book is available to you. But it's kind of interesting, some of the things that go on that you run into.
Well, what's interesting about that is that fast forward 20 years later, and people can know about that by searching online, whether it be searching the local library's collection or the larger databases that are available out there.
Right.
But how ironic that you were at that convention and, you know, here you are how many miles away and somebody was interested in that and you happen to have the resource.
I'm assuming that he had relatives in one of the southern states. And searching genealogy is interesting.
What do you think, if you were to look at all the things that are available now to libraries or the things that you know that are available, what do you think you would like to borrow now and take back to when you were director? If you had...
I can't point out one particular thing, I don't think.
Do you think you would have liked to been able to email, to been able to have the collection online so that, you know, now we're part of the CleveNet system, so we borrow with the other libraries, and if someone comes in and says, well, they want something that's kind of unique and not necessarily something we would carry, you know, we have the ability to look in our... you know, our CIRCE system, and which, you know, is linked to all the other libraries we borrow with, and say, okay, this is available, we can get that for you.
Yeah. Let's see.
Or maybe was that not a great request for that?
I don't think along the lines of all the new technology.
Well, and I wonder, too, because it is available and people know they can look, they do.
Good.
And if that, and I think maybe if we did not have that available to our patrons, they would not, you know, they would look other ways of seeking or trying to find the information. I know in the days before we had that ability, I would usually... either call or maybe go to the larger libraries or even the local university libraries to see if they had a particular book.
I guess when I think of wanting to know something, the library is the first place I think of.
And now so many people go online to find their answer.
Right.
But, you know, there are so many things that that you could come in and seek out here. And, you know, we still educate people about how to use all the features of the library and get some of the things they want by ordering it at home and picking it up here.
Yeah.
Or just coming in and accessing what used to be what is now a computerized card catalog.
Right. Oh. I guess adding the addition and working to collect genealogy and the work on the monument, those were really the highlights of, I felt, added to the Milan Public Library.
It's wonderful you can look back and think of the those three things as highlights, because you're right. A building expansion is an important part of the service to the community when you have more room available to do more things. Mm-hmm. And as we discussed earlier, that's not an easy task.
No.
And then when I have to tell you from my end, when I look at when you started the local history and genealogy department, when it first started in 1985, and people started signing in, I go back and look at the names, and it's interesting to see where people were coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And also the things that they were researching. And a lot of that research actually turned into publications like Mrs. Wonderly. I can't think of her name right now. But she did a lot of research here, ended up publishing a booklet, and in turn gave it to the library, or, you know, it was put into the library collection. And you can't minimize the importance of that. And as time has gone on, now we keep records not only of the people that come in here and use the local history room, but the people that contact me by either email or phone.
Mm-hmm.
Very few letters do I get. In fact, I probably have had one letter in the last 3 years, almost 3 years that I've been here. I'm usually contacted the most popular ways by email. And occasionally those people will contact me again when they have another question.
Right.
Very few phone calls too. I probably, unless it's a local resident that is coming over for something, wants to make a quick stop, most of the time, it's by email.
Many changes, but they all add to how far you can reach to give people information.
I agree. You're right. Many changes, but they mm-hmm. add to the reach. And I think it's exciting when you look at the opportunities that are available now, that still the basis is there, even with the local history department. You know, it still services the same way, just with some different technology.
Right.
And I think, you know, going back to even microfilm, even though we are digitizing things now, a lot of people still feel microfilm has the longevity of lasting,
mm-hmm.
that it's still
mm-hmm.
very important, because there's some debate yet about some of the new types of technology that mm-hmm. is out there, how long it will last or how long you have until you have to move it to the next thing that's out there available.
Right.
But that remains to be seen. But I think, you know, the role of the person in charge of these mm-hmm. collections, whether it be here or anywhere else, is to keep on top of that and make sure that they're preserving the things and keeping them going.
Right.
And that's probably one of the biggest challenges facing us.
With the newspapers, the Milan newspapers, of course, they were bound in hardcover, but the paper was deteriorating, and then, too, the one time David found these women cutting little articles out, obituaries, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
So they were being destroyed because of age, but also because the public didn't take care of what was available. So on microfilm, who knows how long that will last.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to use the means of preservation, what's available mm-hmm. now. Each generation is different.
It is different, but, you know, looking back, you know, you mentioned the three things that are so important that you felt were the most important highlights of your career here. Is there anything that you would had liked to see different happen back then that you would say that you wish, whether it be more staffing or anything that you thought was a low point in terms of library services? Not the day to day, just anything.
I don't think so. Just try to use the knowledge and the technical things that were available at the time.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. You can only work with what you have, and and of course, you know, it's interesting now when sometimes the computers go down and we don't have our scanner system available to us, we have to handwrite everything. So it makes you think about how much of what you did back, you know, when you were here as director, right, by hand. You didn't have that availability to you of technology.
And it seems to me as though there are many things in the way of history that aren't being taught anymore. But I realize that they have so many hours in the day to teach history, and there's more added to it all the time. And so that's why I'm very interested in reading some of the books dealing with early American history, because I learned so much more than I ever learned in school.
Well, I think one of the things that's interesting is that, you know, you still have things coming out, books and historians who are writing things, they're finding new evidence or uncovering something, you know, whether it be a lost book or manuscript that has a little more information. And I find that to be, you know, always fascinating, useful to people to know that there's still more things coming out there. You're right. And that's a selling point yet with mm-hmm. libraries, is we have mm-hmm. all this new knowledge that's still coming out and here available, you know, right, as far as new releases.
Right. Well, in my opinion, libraries will always be a very, very important part of any community. It's the one gathering place for everything to come together. Mm-hmm. I will be interested in seeing how Mr. Russell does with his history of each of the buildings on the square.
Well, and those are the kinds of projects when you have people in the community getting involved to do a project like that and contribute some information, it always adds. And I want to go back to what you said about it's interesting to me when I look at that picture of you 20 years ago as director here that Larry took, and 20 years later, you've been retired for a number of years, but it seems to me still what you're saying is what directors and what directors say and what people still say about libraries is they do give so much to the community. Well, I thank you so much, Mrs. Simon, for your interview. Is there anything else in closing that you'd like to add? Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No.
Well, I thank you. This is our conclusion of our interview. I thank you, Mrs. Simon, former director of the Milan-Berlin Township Public Library.
Thank you.